Hello, listening audience of Best of Five. This is Elon. I usually don't talk to you guys like this, but I'm gonna be trying to take better care of you guys moving forward. I screwed up, so the first quarter of our stream was muted because I had some copyrighted music. But welcome to season 7 of Best of Five. We had some big announcements. I'll catch you guys up here. We switched back to our Tuesday spots, so our live streams are on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Central. We got ourselves a new co-host. Our new co-host is Automatic, also known as Jibbo. Can't believe he said yes to doing this and then did it. He's a cool guy, and we just in the first episode, we already had a lot of fun. And last but not least, I'm looking to hopefully release these every Wednesday, the day after our recording. So stay tuned for more. One more thing, I almost forgot. If you guys want to give us a review on whichever podcast platform you listen to us, please do so. It'll help us out quite a bit, and it'll let me know how you guys are liking the show and what you guys want, etc., etc. So thanks for listening, and here is the episode starting with our recap, because I'm a dum-dum and forgot to record it locally. Enjoy! Everybody, welcome to season 7 of the Best of Five, episode 297, I believe. The last one we talked about Paris Games Week, so it's been a while. To start us off, we have our tournament recaps, our weekly recaps, the Steve Ace King Offsuit Jurek Memorial. He's not dead, he just retired. Tournament recaps. So we're doing something a little bit different this time around. So everybody enjoy this week's weekly recap. Welcome to the new and improved Ace King Offsuit Jurek Memorial Recap. We're starting off with the Capcom Pro Tour 2023. We had the US Canada East online premiere this past weekend, and it was taken by a nail biter of an ending by Knuckle Dude, taking the big first place and qualifying for Capcom Cup 10 and a shot at that $2 million prize pot. Banana Can, with a heartbreaking second place, he came out of winner's side and unfortunately got reset and 0-3'd. Najee taking the big third place. America's Ryu Hero, the 16-year-old Paladin, taking a big fourth. Flux Waves and Punk tying for fifth. And Kami and Ramos tying for seventh, rounding out the rest of the top eight for the US Canada East Capcom Pro Tour online premiere. The final good-ass Tekken 7 tournament for the Tekken World Tour Finals was this past weekend. Let's start off at the last chance qualifier. Joe Crush taking the big win, getting himself into the big finals over AK. VDX taking a heartbreaking third place. Genghis Don taking a fourth place. America's Heroes showing out. Ao Richie and Ty tying for fifth. And GK777 and Infested, the Korean Invader, tying for 7th, rounding out the rest of your top 8. And last but absolutely not least, the final Tekken World Tour Finals of Tekken 7 with the big non-surprising winner, Arslan Ash from Pakistan, taking the big win and sealing off this Tekken 7 historic tournament. Cherry Berry Mango taking a big second place. Olsan taking a big third place. Low High taking the fourth place. Rangchu and Japan's only representative, Ao, tying for fifth. And the Lords, me and John Ding, tying for seventh, rounding out the final Tekken 7 Tekken World Tour Finals. Now that we're done looking towards the past, let's look towards the future. This weekend on Capcom Fighters, we have the final Capcom Pro Tour online premiere for the North America Midwest. There is somebody on this show who signed up. Will they actually show up? That remains to be seen. But this weekend, we will have Street Fighter 6 action to see who will be qualifying to Capcom Cup 10. And that is your weekly recap. We did it.
Nicely done.
Yeah, I did it like literally like 30 minutes before the show. And I realized I say big a lot and I hate it. I'm going to stop that now.
Big's a good word.
I need bigger words, better words. You know what I'm saying?
I just gotta go bigger, man.
Yeah.
They're my big words.
So Automatic, did you get to play any of Tekken 7, by the way?
I did. I played Jin when it first, around when it came out, and I watched a bit of it. I happened to be in Okinawa, and a friend of mine, he would go to the arcades there, and he was a big Tekken 7 player. And I dabbled in it at the time, and some of, like, looking at frame data and how the game mechanically works. But I didn't know how to play it that well, you know, mm-hmm. how, like, applying that stuff. But I would tell him, like, hey, when you're at this advantage, try Magic 4 because it's going to frame trap or do this. He's like, really? That works? And then he did it, and it worked. I'm like, yeah, see, look. It was Jin's Electric and then Magic 4, and that just sets up the frame track perfectly. It's like, oh, huh. Yeah, man, numbers. So, yeah, numbers. I got some experience with Tekken 7. I also played Leroy when he came out, and all of a sudden I was really good at Tekken.
Mm-hmm. Same. And then when they nerfed Leroy, I was no longer good at Tekken. That was sad. But yeah, you know, it's crazy because Tekken 7 kind of got me into Tekken. And Tekken is, I think, the only game where I go 0-2 almost consistently and I'm okay with it. I just don't know enough about Tekken to do well at all. The funny thing is the best I've ever performed at a Tekken tournament was the first tournament I ever entered Tekken in, which was Combo Breaker 2017. I was like one match away from losers finals of my pool. And I played on stream twice. I won once. I had no idea how to play, but other people didn't know how to play either. So, you know, we scrubbed some people out. But I think the craziest thing about Tekken 7 is the wild-ass guest characters that they had, right? Like, I think out of other fighting games, I think they had quite possibly, like, the most diverse cast when it comes to guest characters. Because they had Geese, they had Akuma, they had Negan from Walking Dead. I'm trying to think who else. Noctis from Final Fantasy, that's right. Oh, man. Like, are there any other games that have, like, that kind of a wild guest character roster? I'm trying to think.
Not that wild. Soul Calibur does some strange stuff, but that's other than that, I can't really...
Yeah, I think... What was it Soul Calibur 4 that they had... What's it called? Yoda and Darth Vader?
Yeah. I think Link was in one version of the console or something really weird like that. Some game had Spawn. I don't know if it's Mortal Kombat actually does a decent job as well.
Yeah, very true. I think actually Soul Calibur 2 was the one where every version, every different console had a different guest character. So I think Xbox had Spawn, PlayStation had Heihachi, and GameCube had Link. That's crazy. I'm so happy that that doesn't happen anymore because I wasn't in the FGC at that time, but I have heard horror stories of people going to tournaments and they only had like a GameCube version when they grinded on like the PlayStation 2 version.
Man, that's a whole other can of worms.
So along with the finals and the goodbye to Tekken 7 this past weekend, we saw a lot of crazy content coming out of the Bandai Namco esports account. And give me your thoughts. What did you think about? We saw Tasty Steve going to Cafe Du Monde. We saw Sumichu going to a ice cream shop. We saw Majin Obama taking the biggest bite out of a po' boy I think I've ever seen. It competes with Sejam taking a bite out of the Portillo sandwich. What did you think about like the travel content, as it were?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is, I was looking at the Capcom side of things during the Tekken World Tour. I actually haven't seen anything, not even like tuned into Eris watching it. I barely seen any of it, but I have seen Majin Obama bite out of a sandwich, interview, I believe a Korean or Japanese Tekken player trying a sandwich. Mm-hmm. And the video with Tasty Steve, whoever the videographer was, holy smokes. Like, do they work for a big company or something? Like, it was really?
Yeah. I don't know if they contracted. I don't know if they contracted somebody or if the cameraman was Tenno's cameraman, but Tenno did it.
It wasn't like something's out of focus or the cuts are at a weird spot. Everything was just beautifully cut and scripted. It made them look amazing. It told a story within the time constraints. It was an amazing video experience. And that is so important to showcase for the tournament itself, because oftentimes, if I just skip a lot of the conversation, tournaments aren't worth your money. If I'm just being honest, mm-hmm. you go 0-2, a lot of tournaments don't provide the, you know, like a memorable experience. But what can is the way you interact with other people. You know, maybe you pursue fighting people, getting casuals, but also the local area and just being in a new place and experiencing and creating memories. So it's really cool that they're showcasing that through known players and who are from the area too. It was so cool.
Yeah, we have Sumichu go into the gelateria, I think it was. Oh, there it is. So she got to try out some ice cream, which made me a little bit jealous. Now I have to especially give it up to whoever was the person that shot and edited the Cafe du Monde episode, because I don't have the actual video here, but what I do have is this photo of Tasty Steve taking a bite out of a Cafe du Monde beignet. And it's got, dude, even like the Tekken 7 hit sparks of sugar flying everywhere when he's taking that bite. It's a work of art, man. It is a work of art.
The last hit slow-mo right there.
Oh yeah, 10,000%. It's so good. Now, before we keep talking, we have to do a quick. This is the only award I think the FGC needs, and is the only award that the FGC needs to take seriously, is the Big Bite Award. So we've had Sejam taking the bite out of the Portillo sandwich. Now we have Tasty Steve taking a bite out of the beignet, and we have Majin Obama taking a gigantic bite out of a po' boy sandwich. Automatic between Tasty Steve and Majin Obama, who's got the best bite?
Majid Obama free.
I 1,000%
free.
agree.
He looks mad at it, like it's so good he has to express anger.
I think we might actually even have the video of it. Yeah, there it is. Dude, look at that. Dude, I just ate and now I'm hungry again. This sucks.
I'm getting you know how you get nerd chills. What's the fat version of that?
Damn. Yeah, dude, he really had to work for that bite. It's a thing of beauty. But I was so happy to see that kind of content, especially, and you brought up the perfect point, because traveling to tournaments doesn't feel worth it anymore, right? Especially with how the economical state of the world is.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that too, man. I budgeted Frosties to see if I could do it, and I could, but oh my, four digits came up, and I was like, man, I gotta find some friends, a floor to sleep on if I wanna, you know, too old for that, man. I can't.
Yeah. No, it's funny because I used to, I think last year I traveled to the big three, right? I went to CEO, I went to Evo, and I went to Combo Breaker. And I'm still paying that off. I had a day job at the time, so I'm still like kind of like working down on the credit card debt off of all those travels, man.
I can eat. I got a bunch of Chipotle promo codes too, so I can eat for free. But even with that, man, it's too much.
Yeah. Also,
Hotel,
be careful, because
airplane.
I think those Chipotle codes expired at the end of the year. If it was the stuff that they gave out at Evo and at Combo Breaker, gotta
No,
be
it should have
careful.
lasted for about a year. It should be
Oh, okay.
good.
Cool.
I had to eat Chipotle like once a week if I was gonna use all. I got like 45 codes.
Yeah, me too. So what's really funny is I got a shit ton of codes, and then I ate Chipotle once, and I got sick. So I was like, ah, well, guess that's not for me. And I still, I what's really funny is I still have the card like that I got for getting out of pools at
Oh.
Combo Breaker. I had another one for getting out of pools at Evo. But I think I'm just keeping these as like, hey, I made it out of pools. Check this shit out. I think they've expired at this point. But speaking of Chipotle too, I don't know if you saw, but Tekken 7 is, or Tekken is getting a Chipotle menu item. They went on the Twitter for Tekken and like put up polls on like what the ingredients should be on the Tekken burrito, as it were. I don't know
Really?
what the results were, but I can only imagine it would also probably make me sick.
Was that tweet via Chipotle or Bandai Namco?
I think it was
Or
the actual Tekken Twitter itself.
that's fascinating because you know obviously Street Fighter's with Chipotle as well. So does that indicate a little something? Is there going to be a little mix of the guac and the salsa? We're going to see another TBS.
Ooh. Also, I love the fact that you said mix of guac and salsa. I never would have thought of that, and I appreciate it. I just wanted to let you know that.
Really?
Yeah. I was gonna say like, oh, are we gonna get steak and chicken? But I don't. Does Chipotle even have steak?
I guess I know it's they have. Carne asada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know they have like the sofritas, which is the vegetarian thing, which is pretty good. I'm a fan of it. But yeah, I was so
Mexican
happy to.
food?
Go ahead.
Well, Mexican food is one of my favorites because you can just blend it all together like a delicious Mexican paste, and it's still really good. With the beans, with the rice, with the burrito, all of it can just go together.
Dude, I feel
Oh,
like
man.
the way you talk about quesobirria is how I talk about pizza. Right? Like I feel like your love for quesobirria is my love for pizza. So we'll have to. I don't know if you've seen the show before, but we have a lot of bets. I'm a gambling man, as it were. So we have a lot of pizza bets. Maybe we'll have to implement quesobirria bets as well. So.
Oh snap, I'm down. I think I won one of those pizzas
You
with the
did.
music thing.
Yes.
Vega and Streets of Rage.
Yes, I still have it. It's somewhere on this computer. That was a weird stream. Anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll talk more about that stream later. It was weird, but I had a lot of fun. It feels like a dream. But what was really cool about this, going back to what we were actually talking about, the content from Tekken 7, the Tekken 7 World Tour Finals, is having that travel content, I think, is what is going to make tournaments more appealing moving forward, right? And I think that's
Yes.
been the case for a long time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. And that reminded me as well as how it can tie into advertisers and local advertisers. And maybe they can start to cut a little something, like, hey, maybe I can get this venue a little, maybe cut the cost a little bit and I'll bring some customers to this, side of town.
No, it
That's one
always
thing that I
reminds
don't
me.
see enough of is advertisers working with the FGC.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. And especially because, it's gotten to the point where FGC tournaments are populated, right? Like there's like over 2,000 people going for the big ones, right? I specifically remember when I went to Combo Breaker when it was at the Pheasant Run, there was only like that one Culver's across the street, and they would get
Oh yeah.
bodied every year. They would have to
And then
put
the
up a sign that's
Wawa
like,
as well. I
"Oh
believe it
yeah."
was a gas station. A long line for gas station food.
Yeah, no, I even remember I don't think I'll ever get this image out of my mind of the Culver's having to put a sign saying, "We're out of food. Please go away."
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, but I this kind of stuff is exactly what I've been wanting to see from the FGC. So getting somebody like Majin Obama, who is from New Orleans, to like show people around is so shout outs to Lord Chris Segg and the 10-0 folks for shooting that kind of stuff, man, because that's right up my alley.
Beautiful.
It's so good. Okay. Did you have any final thoughts on Tekken 7? Because I think as of not this next week, but I think on Sunday is when it comes out, the new one. It's on the 26th, the same day as the other.
26, yes.
It's out
So
Friday, so
8 days
next
from now.
Friday. Damn, dude, it's coming up fast.
Really, is it?
Yeah, and I think what was the other game that was coming out too? Under Night 2 is coming out, I think, that
Oh.
same week too. So it's gonna be
Just a few days before, right?
next week's gonna be heavy FGC spending week. Ugh.
It kind of went by quickly too. But about Tekken 7, it seemed great. I'm interested in seeing how Tekken 8 will also. The thing about Tekken is that there is legacy skill, but there is still, it's one thing, there's a legacy of fellow boomers complaining about the new the new video game, which may or may not be valid, I don't know. But I don't know, it's interesting to be somewhat of an outsider and experience Tekken as is, and then appreciate what's in front of you and not know the thing that's behind you, not so much. So I wonder how Tekken 8 is gonna play out. Are Tekken 7 players gonna be like, ah, this is not as blah 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 blah. I prefer Tekken 7 or DR or whatever, or is it gonna be a whole fresh experience? But what I do suspect is that probably like the beginning of Street Fighter V, the beginning of Street Fighter VI, and pretty much the beginning of Tekken 7 as well, it's gonna be a little nutty, unbalanced, a little jank, broken. Might have a little Akuma in there that's not quite balanced correctly, and somehow Punko wins. So we'll see how it goes. It's always a fun time.
Yeah. No, it's really funny that I see I specifically saw this past week once the finals ended, a couple of very big players saying, oh, Tekken 7's the last game where the actual good player wins. And I don't think that's correct. Especially and I say this especially because I cannot tell you the amount of times I have seen and heard people complaining about 2D characters in their Tekken game.
So yeah, there's a whole hour-long separate discussion we can have on that. But it happens nearly every time, but there's a little bit of truth to it every time. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that's hard to, because like, why defend that? What's the point? What's the point of being like, this game is not as good? At the end of the day, it's like, do you like it or not? Play it, don't play it. But there's something to it. That's slowly almost like the frog boiling in the water, where it's like, this is okay. Okay, mashing's okay. Okay, mashing uppercut into an ultra is okay. Okay, 5-frame buffer so combos are okay. Okay, modern controls. That's okay.
And we're going to get to like one button. Like I have a feeling like in 20 years, fighting games are just going to be literally rock, paper, scissors. We're just going to go back to that.
Like, have you played High Fights Footsies?
I have.
To divert your,
No.
You know, but High Fights Footsies is one button. Mm-hmm. Very, very simple, but it gives you that footsies experience, the neutral, and it's got a little bit of crazy. It's just with one button.
Yep.
So it's not necessarily. Yeah.
I spent way more time than I thought I ever would with that game. I like that game a lot. So I 1000% agree. Okay.
But I do hope for the best for Tekken 8. It will be a game that I actually purchase, because that's been something that I have found challenging lately with the new fighting games that come out. I was like, all right, you get like 2 weeks, we'll see what Uzeo does. then I'll take a bite, maybe. But this one I think is gonna be a winner.
Yeah, I know it's been a little controversial, especially because it's so different. It's still Tekken at the end of the day, but the new heat system and the fact that it's called heat, mm-hmm, is a little bit weird.
Right.
But yeah, the new heat system has been something that it's something that everyone's going to get used to, much like how in Tekken 7, rage arts and rage drives were the things that people started getting used to. So yeah, I'm curious to see what it's going to look like, man. And much like Street Fighter 6, there's already a lot of people playing the illegitimate, like hidden underground crack versions of it. So we'll see how many people have.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see how many prodigies we have when the game first comes out, and it seems like they've been playing for 7 months. I'm curious to see that as well. So that's going to be fun. Okay, look, there was at once a segment called Block Grab. Essentially, how this segment works is we look at a couple of things, and if we like it, we grab it, right? You grab the things you like, and if you hate it, you block it. You block the things you don't like. So, I think it's about time for us to go back to the best of five roots and get ourselves a Block Grab. Now, this does have an introduction. I forgot to tell you, there is a little introduction video. We have to provide the sound effects for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Akuma Raging Demon. So just create Akuma Raging Demon sound effects. All right, ready?
All right.
We'll go in 3, 2, 1.
The suits goes.
Block Grab. That was perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. Okay, so we're going to do a little bit of Block Grab on this collaboration on Street Fighter 6 that has come out. So they put the character from, I guess, this anime into Street Fighter, and you know, it looks like it's a skin for Juri, and that's cool. We'll skip the rest of this. But instead of it being a skin for Juri, it's an avatar skin. So that has been, I think, like the way Street Fighter 6 has gone, right? With the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stuff, now with the Spy X Family thing. So, in your opinion, this Spy X Family costume for your avatar, block or grab, Lord Automatic?
If I could get technical, I would take the throw. But if I can't take the throw, I'm blocking it.
Why?
So much like there's two other previous costumes and things of that nature, which was the actual costumes for the character, which had problems where you had to buy way more than you needed with the in-game currency to buy a costume. So you had some spillage. So that was a little bit offensive. And then the Ninja Turtles costumes, which was like $20. Mm-hmm. It's all optional stuff. And I like that it's there. It's cool. But then you got this is not, you know, I'm not the target audience, to be fair. I think the Ninja Turtles is cool and costumes are cool, but I don't know who this character is. That's all right. So it doesn't appeal to me in that sense at all. But then when I see this trailer, there's almost a little hint of deception. I can see someone being like, is this a new character? Is this character in the game? And then maybe they'll purchase it and find out, oh, this is just an avatar costume. I can only play this in the Battle Hub. But maybe that's okay. But to me, it's not my thing.
Yeah. No, I 1,000% agree. It's... I think for us in the FGC in the more competitive mindset, it's difficult to be excited about this stuff, right? Because you can't see it anywhere else other than either the Battle Hub or the World Tour mode, which I have not touched. I haven't touched the World Tour mode since like the first month of the game.
And since you mentioned that, now that I think about the prior two costume experiences, I don't even know how much that costs because I'm like exhausted from the other two things that happened. Like, okay, $20 here, more than $10 here. I'm not even interested because even if I was interested, I don't want to. I get more value out of playing the game anyways.
Yeah. So I am going to do a very cautious grab on this. Again, I'm not the target audience. Literally, the only thing I know about this anime is that I think the main character wears a suit that's like light blue and it looks kind of cool. But that's literally all I know. Now, the reason I'm going to grab this is because, A, for the people that are excited about this this anime, I'm sure this is pretty cool, right? Seeing this in Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. And B, the other reason I'm going to grab this is you can buy it with drive tickets. You don't need to buy the in-game currency. And that's the first time I think I have ever spent a single drive ticket in this game. And my character looks badass. So for that reason, I'm going to grab.
Yeah, it looked pretty good. You're right.
It even got the earrings. Like, it's pretty sick. It's pretty sick.
That's good news, though.
Yeah,
that's why I try to break a rule there and have a technicality and take the throw because I think there's opportunity for there's good things about it and who it might reach out to and the fact that they are branching off and having. Was, you know, it's not really, I guess, character, but they're collaborating, and that's, I think, is good.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the case because I don't have that perspective, but I wonder if this makes Street Fighter a more attractive package for somebody who doesn't have it, right? Like, and if they're, like, fans of Spy X Family, it's like, oh, you can dress up like that character. I wonder if that's like, maybe I'll buy this game now. On sale or something.
What if it is leading to other opportunities too? They just like imagine if this is something they did bi-weekly, they have some other collaboration that's really, you know, compact and it's just an avatar thing, but it's frequent and it keeps people, you know, eyeballs on the game and other things you can do. Because the casual audience is where the money's at for
me. Yeah.
For real, that's who's buying the costumes and playing the avatar battles. I do it for fun, but you know, I like suffering in the 1900 MR rank.
Yeah, I'm not even up there, man. I turned on Street Fighter 6 for the first time in a while yesterday. And I got into a ranked match. Literally first thing is round one, fight, drive rush. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to go take a break. and of course I was fighting against the jury too. So it was like drive rush, low medium kick into drive rush cancel afterwards. I genuinely cannot. I just had a moment where I was like, all right, I'm going to walk away for a little bit. I do need to start practicing because I signed up for that premiere over the weekend. So we'll see what happens there. I have no hope of making it anywhere. I just hope I don't go 0-2. That's the goal. That's the goal.
Good luck.
We'll see what happens. Maybe I might not even show up. Who knows? Who knows? Anything. Literally anything can happen. Chat, I want you guys to spam block or grab on how you guys think about the Spy X Family stuff. I'm curious what you guys think. And if you're on YouTube and or listening to this on your drive to work on the podcast version, literally yell out your car window block or grab right now to the person who is to the left of you. If you're driving, if you're riding passenger, then to the right, please. Damn, everybody blocking. Yeah, everybody's blocking. You know, them's the brakes. Not for us, but cool anyway, though, right? I think. Okay. Did you have any final thoughts on this collab of Street Fighter VI?
Although I don't like it, I'd like to see more of it. I mean, when you mentioned that it's drive tickets, that changes the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it wasn't drive tickets, I would not have even like thought twice about it. But the fact that it was a drive ticket thing, and I've just been building up drive tickets by accidentally doing the challenges. Like, go into training mode once a week, and you get drive tickets. But yeah, I'm curious to see where they go with it. And there's a part of me that does wish it was like a guest costume for a character, right? Though I wonder if I would feel differently after we saw that it's going to be like $30 for a costume or something.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay. Our final topic of today. Frosty Faustings. Not this coming weekend, but one weekend after. It is a tournament of firsts. It's the first like big major tournament of the first big major like multi-game major tournament of 2024, if I'm not mistaken. It is also going to be the first big major tournament for Granblue versus Rising. It's going to be the first big major tournament for Under Night 2, which will be coming out. And as of a couple of days ago, I saw on Twitter, it's going to be the first ever one-day-only tournament for Tekken 8. They're doing a tournament just on Sunday. I wonder how that's going to work.
You gotta sign a disclaimer. Like, we might have to just stop and not. Is it gonna be a free tournament? They gotta pay money for it. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I can't wait to see what comes out of it. But even outside of all of these firsts, it's still a super exciting tournament. And I know you had a couple of thoughts about some of the cool stuff that they're bringing in. So what do you got for us as far as what Frosty Faustings brings?
Well, you mentioned the Under Night, and I think it's interesting that Under Night is releasing 3 days prior to the tournament. So Under Night is a little bit like Tekken, where the legacy skill of the previous game does translate to the current version. So although it'll be a new game, I think most people will know what they're doing who's already played it. But I'd love to see how that happens. Like, you get to see the developmental phase of like a pretty much a massive patch and actually new characters as well with Under Night. Mm-hmm. And I am a big fan of Under Night. I have a pretty long-winded story about it, and how somebody from my Twitch chat who I met, who was actually staff, lived basically down the street. He was like, "You gotta play Under Night." I'm like, "I ain't playing no anime game." And then he brought it to a local bar, and I tried it out, and I felt right at home. I immediately was beating his ass. It felt great. I was like, "Okay, this button does this. This is how I anti-air. Hey, this game's sick. You're right." So I'm looking forward to Under Night. And speaking of games that I do like, is Third Strike. Third Strike will be there. I saw 150 players are registered, so maybe more or less. And it is a Jazzy Circuit event. And the Jazzy Circuit is a points league. So there's tournaments, locals, big tournaments. They're probably weighted differently. And those players at the end of the league, they go into the Jazzy Cup. And it's really cool. They got a big, I believe it's in Texas, in one of the Texas arcades.
Mm-hmm. UFO. My friend's right down the street from me.
Really? That's sick. So that's going to be on head-to-head cabs, and that is, in my opinion, the correct way, the best way to play Third Strike.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. No. Arcade UFO is where like the big Third Strike scene is. Although they recently moved, so the Third Strike scene has kind of been a little fragmented since they've moved. But they're, as far as I know, they have quite possibly the only head-to-head cabs in an arcade here in Austin, Texas.
Am I making something up, or is it Akihabara? I believe there's a...
Oh, that's in Colorado, I think.
That's where it was last year, I believe.
Ah, so, yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. I know they usually have a big... what do you call it? A big Jazzy Circuit event here in Austin. Because there is a very strong... What's really funny is Arcade UFO has this tournament idea that I think is genius, is they have team tournaments, but it's random. and they have one pool of people who are the pool of people who have been playing Third Strike since the game came out, and they have another pool of people who are just there to have fun, and they pair up one person who knows how to play and one person who doesn't know how to play randomly, and then they just see how the tournament turns out. It's awesome. It's awesome.
That sounds great. Like two people on a team?
Yeah. Yeah, and it
there's so many cool things you can do with Third Strike, and they've done something like that here locally in North Carolina, where you have a tournament. They ran two tournaments for Third Strike in a day. One tournament was called No Vets. No veterans can play in this tournament. And then the next tournament is all everybody can play.
Nice.
It's super sick.
Oh, that's awesome. Something else that I did want to bring up for Frosty Faustings is I have this graphic here. But one thing that I did forget to mention is Vortex Gallery is going to be there. Vortex Gallery, they are the crew that used to be called Anime Evo, and they used to run all of the anime side events at Evo. They have since turned into Vortex Gallery, and now they run even more side events at Evo, and they run even more crazy events everywhere. And what's this? Whoa, Vortex! Oh man, did you? Oh, is that what you want off of Punch Planet?
Punch Planet. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's the first time I saw you in real person, in real life, and I was like, "Hey, how's it going?" And then I had to run for a pool, as I think all of us were like just going crazy, like running around like madmen. But what I did want to bring up is I have never seen a Thursday of just all casuals being brought up for a tournament before. So if you see on the very left, that Thursday, January 25th, the venue opens at noon and it's all casuals all the time for the entire day.
That's
and
awesome.
And then Friday and Saturday is when the party starts for tournaments.
I've been thinking about getting an RV, not a Rumbleverse, unfortunately. I'd like to have that. But a recreational vehicle and towing that around to tournaments so I could avoid the hotel fee, put a head-to-head cab inside of it.
The true World Warrior experience of the 21st century. That'd be interesting. If you ever do wind up doing that, please document the shit out of it because I'm curious as to
how. Bro, I spent like a whole day watching RV videos. You can look up any model of RV. There's going to be a video of somebody giving you a tour. And I was looking up the dimensions. Can I fit this here? Maybe I can set up an office. I can have a whole space to myself. I'm about to get me one.
Dude, there is a yearly RV convention here in Austin at the convention center.
I might watch the video.
I am not joking, but they take over the convention center and they put all kinds of RVs in there. And I've been once. It's amazing. I never thought I would be like, whoa, RVs are cool. But then I went and checked it out and it's like, damn, there's like RVs where like you can like hide a car underneath it. So if you need a car, just like open the side compartment, you can bring your own car and shit. It's like, shit's crazy.
They repurpose double decker buses and they live in it full time with their family and kids.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. I'm curious of how that lifestyle was received. I wonder if I would like living that way.
Oh, they're all like, I save so much money. You're happier than ever. I'm like, this looks sick.
Dude, yeah, they don't have to pay mortgage. They don't have to pay rent.
Yeah, of course, there's problems associated with it because you got to be pretty handy, maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
The RVs, what are we talking about?
We're going into the old man version of the podcast now. Dude, RVs are exciting, man. I have a good friend of mine who used to own a comedy theater here in Austin. And when the pandemic hit, they sold their half of the theater and they bought an RV and they went out to like Colorado or something. And now they just maintain campgrounds in their RV.
Yeah.
So I feel it. I feel that. The want to just get away from everything is becoming stronger and stronger. So I totally vibe with that. But Frosty Faustings, speaking of wanting to get away from it all, 4 full days of 24-hour gaming nonstop, dedicated casual ballroom, which I think is the first time I've seen like an actual dedicated casual ballroom, which is pretty cool. 40-plus sides tournaments courtesy of Vortex Gallery. Friends of the show, Daryl Bonnell. It's funny, every time I'm at Evo and I do an episode from Evo, either Rick or Walt always like they're like, here, just go do the show at the Vortex Gallery booth, they'll be cool. And then I show up and they're like, hey, and then we just do a show and they show up in the show and it's awesome. So I'm super happy to see them getting more opportunities to run their events, because they care a lot about all of the little games that never really get to see the light of day, and they like putting those like as many of them as they can in the limelight.
I'm getting a good feeling because I was saying just about a year ago, there was a lot of dooming around fighting games, and I was like, just hold on, man. I'm telling you, things are like it was during Street Fighter V, so you kind of, people are burnt out. I'm like, just around the corner, I'm telling you, things are going to be great. And they are, like, you mentioned Vortex Gallery. It makes me think of Tampa Never Sleeps, which makes me think of all these other great projects we got going on, people who are in 10-0. Like, we're crushing it, man. There's a lot of good, like, Crick is crushing it. Who's not crushing it? There's so many cool things going on.
Yeah, man, 2024. It's crazy because I think we all saw like a big rise coming from the FGC, right? With Street Fighter 6 getting released. Then Mortal Kombat 1, and now Tekken 8's coming. And while we're all like a little bit wary of how the games are changing, and I say we, but like it's just all the same discussions when games change. And it's very funny. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, but I had never experienced a game change. Like I started in Street Fighter 4-ish, so I got to see the transition from Street Fighter 4 to 5, and then seeing the transition from 5 to 6, and having the same talking points be brought up about five and six that people were bringing up about four and five is hilarious to me.
Hate to brag, but remember, do you recall a tweet that I made about the order of things that people would complain about? Holy smokes, was I the Jibbledomus or what?
Jibbo-Damus, 100%,
They called
100%.
him crazy. He said perfect parry will be complained about. What do we got now? It only took a few months.
Although I feel like people are complaining about Perfect Parry because they don't know how to deal with it. Just let it. I'm of the mind of just let it ride and see what people come up with.
Yeah.
Speaking
I'm
of,
starting to enjoy the game a lot more recently. It's starting to, as much as it is a lot of guessing and a lot of high risk, low reward, and it's hard to apply your reactions and fundamentals, though you definitely can successfully. I'm starting to see the light and starting to enjoy it a lot more. And I think the next season, if they do it right, it's going to be really good. And excuse me, I've gone on record and I think I'm saying I think this game can be better than Third Strike. At some point, they could make this game into something that's like the best Street Fighter ever. Right now, it's not there, but it's just season one, so it's kind of to be expected. I don't want to say old, but you'll start to see the flaws, and that's kind of where we're at now. And I think people kind of want there would have been it would have been nice to see a little bit of a balance patch mid-season, but and one more thing is. The tournament, the CPT East was, I'd say half of it was actually awesome. And then the other half of it felt like I was just kind of, all right, this matchup is a losing matchup for this character. And that's how that goes. But some of the matchups were absolutely great. And yeah, I look forward to the Capcom Cup. I hope we see a lot of good moments.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. There's one thing that bothers me about Capcom Cup coming up. And before we even get into what bothers me, I think we need to thank this person is, as Steve used to call him, the patron saint of best of five. Die by Sword has resubscribed, so I just wanted to give him a round of applause. Die by Sword has gifted like over 200 gifts to best of five at this point. So
Gosh dang.
he is keeping the boat afloat on his own. He's the Atlas of best of five. So shout outs to Die by Sword.
Nice moves.
Nice moves. I like that. But what worries me about Capcom Cup is last year I thought the fact that it was like 5 days long was a little too much. So I was hoping they were going to scale it back, but instead of scaling it back, they doubled down and now it's 7 days long. So, and we were just talking about the cost of traveling for a tournament, man. Imagine having to be somebody who's going to go to LA, Hollywood for 7 days to go see Capcom Cup. Man, that's rough. That's
You
really
gotta be
rough.
very creative. If you do have a job, but I hope you get like paid time off because you're not only like it's going in two different directions. You're missing a week of work, I think, and then you're spending a lot of money too. So it's just ugh to for an LCQ,
It's
that's a
difficult,
lot,
man.
man.
It's difficult. Yeah, Die by Sword in the chat saying if you want that 1 mil, you gotta pay. So you gotta spend money to make money, I guess.
Yeah,
Ugh,
I don't
gross.
disagree. That's and remember, like, historically, the LCQs, their stream time is kind of like, I think last time it was just people on their phone streaming the LCQ for the last Capcom Cup. Is that, am I remembering correctly?
Yeah, I think it was a couple of Capcom Cups ago where they didn't stream an entire day of it. So Red Bull gave a bunch of people phones and they were like, hey, go just like walk around. I think it, it was a Street Fighter V one. Yeah, 2019, Vicious in our chat says. Yeah, 2019 was when that happened.
Beautiful boomer out there. How's
it going, sir? Dude, I'm going to be joining you guys soon, man. I have a feeling I'm going to shave my head this year. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I don't know when, why, or how, but I just have that feeling in the like in the depths of my my stomach.
I'll grow mine back out as a backup plan, man.
Okay, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Part of me wants to just keep this as a wig. Just like cut this off, keep it as a wig. But yeah, what are we talking about?
RVs and hairlines.
RVs and hairlines, man. Yeah, the best of five has truly aged. We're reaching midlife crisis here. I am super excited to see Frosties though. Not this coming weekend, but next weekend. I don't know why, but in my own brain, I've always put a lot of stock on, at the time, KIT and now Frosties, because they were kind of like the big setups for the new year. And with the amount of excitement coming out, like going into Frosties, and like with the big releases coming like right before and during Frosties, right? Like, I'm looking at the graphic now for the tournament. If you look all the way on the right, Sunday, January 28th, Tekken 8 release party in the Grand Ballroom. Like, I don't think I've ever experienced a major tournament having a release party for a game before. So I think that's pretty badass.
You need a bit of luck for that, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because like you can see this as a positive, or like I forget whether it was like last year or 2 years ago where Rick had to deal with like game updates like the week of the tournament. Dang. So you had to like worry about like updating everything or making sure things work and don't work, et cetera, like right before a major tournament. So I can't even imagine how stressful that shit is.
Oh, that's going to be pretty interesting because, as you mentioned before, there's people who are playing on a version on a personal computer.
Yep.
But they might release it at a different something, and then they try to do combos that they knew, but it ain't going to work that day. So I was like, oh, no! Foiled again!
Yeah, I'm curious to see all the prodigies of Tekken 8. with that said, though, I'm also super curious to see Under Night 2, man. Under Night 2 is cool.
The rollback is such a big deal, man.
Mm-hmm.
That was the number one reason. Like, I really like the game. I can play a few matches. You know how when you first play a game, you don't know how bad the netcode is until you really get good at the game.
Yeah.
And then once me and Ryan Hunter, I got actually like sold the game to him. I was like, dude, this game is sick. You should try it out. And then he actually gifted me a copy of it on Steam so we could play each other. And we lasted about two sets where we're like, I'm supposed to block that overhead, right? That overhead's not supposed to hit me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so happy that, and this is the first time I think that Arxis is actually publishing Undernight game. So I think they probably had a hand in implementing the rollback netcode, which is pretty cool. My favorite Undernight story is Evo 2017. Flo almost ruined Undernight tournament. First of all, rest in peace, Flo. He passed away last year, for those of you that don't know. But he was in pools with Clearlamp, who was the person who was picked to win the tournament. And he went to last game, last round with Clearlamp. So if
carry over, man.
Yeah, if like one little thing would have gone wrong, Flo would have completely ruined that whole tournament. It would have been so funny. Clearlamp did wind up winning. But you could only wonder what if. Like in a different timeline where Flo won that match, that'd be really funny.
If you're a 2D fighting game player, Street Fighter, KOF, you should try Undernight because I think that's probably the anime that translates the best over like as far as fundamentals, footsies, and it feels so intuitive. I don't exaggerate. The moment I picked a character, played a match, what are my moves, I was playing it. It feels so crazy. I was like, wow, I can play this game. This is awesome.
Out of curiosity, who was your main?
Who do you think?
Was it the lady with the whip?
Nope. Somebody who people think sucks.
I have no idea. Oh, okay, got it. I had a Gordo. I had a Gordo for a while. I thought that guy was fun to play. But then I never got too far at the game. So maybe Under Night 2 is going to be my Gordo comeback. You know, we'll.
Yeah, with the rollback, I'll probably try out more characters.
Hell yeah. All right. Lord Automatic, first of all, welcome to Best of Five. I am ecstatic to have you here. And I cannot wait to see what kind of shenanigans we come up with in future episodes. Do you have any other thoughts about what we've discussed today before we have to sign off?
Nope.
Sick.
Although I'm very excited to be here as well. And I think this is a good start to something. And we'll do some future episodes. Maybe we can do some skits. And I'll start to, I'll start to stream and warm it up. And then,
Oh yeah.
we'll start to make some plays happen.
Yeah, 2024 is the year of Best of Five and the year of Automatic and the year of the
Our
FGC.
chemistry is good.
Yes. And of course, you know a little something or other about chemistry because you're the owner of the world's strongest lab. So I trust your chemistry knows more than most other people in the FGC. This has been another episode of Best of Five. My name is Elon. This is Lord
I'm
Automatic.
automatic.
And we will catch y'all in the next one. We'll be back next week. I don't
Peace.
we don't have a sign off yet, but we'll figure something out.
Oh yeah. Can we do like a little hype, like a hype, this way I'll do a high five.
Okay.
We'll do. Hey, ready to
And pow. All right. Later.